Okay, thank you, Barney, man. It's so great to be here again and to be able to share God's word. And that song, that was pretty appropriate for what I wanted to share tonight. And I titled this sharing tonight, The Christmas Party and the New Body. And I hope by the end of this, you'll see it all fit together. Well, we retired, Vicki and I, about 8 years ago. And it's amazing how when you retire, you know, from your everyday job or, you know, working for an everyday living, say, it kind of frees up so much time in your mind, thinking time. Well, I used to work in Boston at the Mass General Hospital, right smack dab in the heart of Boston. I worked as a painter in the carpenter shop for, you know, for 25 years, give or take a few months. I haven't been back there since I retired, but I have been in contact over the years with my old boss. We kind of got a lot of history with each other, quite a backstory with him. We talk every few months or so. The last time I seen him was about 5 years ago. Well, he called me right before Christmas this year to let me know about the annual Christmas party that we have once a year, as most places do. It's always kind of a big deal. He said it would be great if you could make it this year. Everyone always asks about you. Well, I kind of thought about it, and I said, man, it's 5.5 hours down there, 5.5 hours back. I would really kind of like to see everybody and talk with them. Well, my mind said, just go. Okay, my mind's made up. I'm going to go. So I gets up early and drove to my old boss's house. He's got a new house in Manchester, New Hampshire. That's like about a four-hour drive. So I get down there, and I share with his wife, and we kind of got up a little, chewing the fat. Then we go off to Boston. That's another hour and a half drive. Not much fun driving as you get close to Boston, as with any big city, any big congested city. I'm sure Bob and Jeannie can appreciate, you know, the visuals of the traffic in Boston. I know they spend a little bit of time there over the years. But anyway, we maneuvered through the traffic like old pros. We were in and out of the traffic, up and down the one-way cobblestone streets, and then on to Cambridge Street. So like I said, the Mass General was located right in the middle of the heart of the city of Boston. They call it the West End. Everything's going on there. It's the oldest hospital. It's constant activity going there. It never stops. Like Vegas, it never sleeps. It's been around since about 1811, I think. It's a huge, huge, huge place. It's a city within a city. Well, the way things are set up there is called the Building and Grounds, and that's where I worked. It consists of, you know, a carpenter shop, a paint shop, electric shop, plumbing shop, HVAC, etc., you know, planning. I'm sure a lot of us have worked for some type of an industry, a large institution like a school, a post office, a hospital, even in the military. You can kind of get the picture of how many different types of people and tradesmen it takes to operate a large facility. Just about maybe 20 or 30 tradesmen in each shop. And over the years, I've either worked with or for most of these guys. But I got to tell you guys, it was really, really different going back after 8 years to that environment. After 8 years of being gone and kind of isolated to a degree of all that crazy confusion, the hustle and the bustle of everything moving so fast and seeming to really go nowhere. But like I said, it is amazing how retirement can kind of free up your mind of a lot of these obstacles. I'm speaking for myself, and I'm sure you can relate to it. It sure was great to see a lot of these guys, though. I trained most of these guys. Well, not most of them. I trained a lot of these guys, and they're still working. I saw many of the retirees, and there's a lot of new guys there, too. Everybody kind of asks, you know, what you doing, what you've been up to. You know, a lot of the retirees, they're doing different things. Some are traveling. Some are just hanging out. Some got hobbies. They ask me, I says, well, it's funny you should ask. I'm an ambassador for Christ now. What? These guys, you know, now most of these guys are guys that I worked with. They all knew I was a little bit different. Kind of much to a different drum, so to speak. Now, don't get me wrong. I joke and goof with everybody. We all busted each other's chops, but something was different this time. I know maybe just being out of that element and being able to reflect and spend more quiet time with God had kind of put a whole new outlook on things. Anyway, after different responses, most positive, some, you know, some okay. He's kind of gonzo now. He's spending too much time in the mountains. Kind of gone off his cookie, maybe. Well, I can say I really didn't care, but I do care. Just going back and talking with these guys and letting them know what's available. You know, over the years, you kind of develop a relationship with people. You spend, you know, a large part of your life with a lot of part of your time. And you want to let them know what's available. We want to let them know, you know, what Romans 10, 9, and 10, they can get born again, right? And guess what? We want to also let them know that it says something else. There's lots of things. You're going to get a new body, guys. Oh, yeah, where are you going to hear that one? It says. I said, that's okay. The word never comes back void. I know we've all been in, you know, maybe a similar situation, but something pretty special happened to me that day as I look back. It just kind of sticks out in my mind. As I was walking up to the hospital, it's a long entrance. I kind of picture this, set a picture for you. I was walking up, it's kind of a long entrance. It's a very, very busy area where, you know, emergency vehicles, they come in and out. It's the main entrance, if you can picture it. It's kind of like a lot of, if there's such a thing, organized chaos. There's people along the sidewalk standing, you know, going in and out. Some staff workers are there from the hospital. They go up and they have smoke or just go up for some air. I saw the back of a guy as I was walking up. He's in his scrubs, you know. He's got the surgical hat on, his scrubs, mask. But I could only see his stature. And it was a small version of a guy I knew who had retired before I left. So as I walked by, and his back was to me, this guy's name, he was Lyle. I says, you know, I says, Lyle? He turned around. He says, man, I don't believe it. Now, this guy's got a deep Jamaican voice. And we must have said it to each other 3 or 4 times. I said, man, how long's it been? He says, it's got to be about 10 years now. Well, we didn't talk a long time, but kind of long enough to know that this was a special moment. This was a but God moment. Let me tell you a little about Lyle. Lyle runs the operating rooms. He's responsible for all the clean instruments, all the hardware in the OR, in the operating rooms. Clean, make sure everything is sterilized, the linen's all sterilized, you're ready for the next operation that's coming up. And, you know, you can run through a lot of different operations in a big place like the Mass General. Anyway, he runs maybe about 8 or 10 ORs at the same time, maybe even more. It's a very, very demanding job. He's got a lot of pressure. I don't think about this guy every day, but he does come to my mind from time to time. He's not somebody that I really hung out with every day, but someone who we both made a big impression on each other. He's probably got maybe 50 plus years working at the hospital now. And he kind of reminded me of Dan and Rebecca's teaching on a reason, a season, and a lifetime. I saw so many, many people that I've met over the years, and I got to say that even though I'm almost an old guy now, I still got the mind of a 30-year-old believer, guys. I wanted to stand up and just yell from the top of my lungs, tell these guys to wake up. Look around, man. Open your eyes. You guys are spending more time planning a 2-week vacation than eternity. That's how I felt. But I didn't do it. I wanted to stand up like Peter and say, wake up. But would that have opened up these guys' eyes? Or should I just talk to people, maybe 101, 102? That's what I did. Some guys, like I say, they received it, some didn't. But, you know, that day, as I was driving home, I just kept thinking about the day. And all that had happened, I thought, should I have said this to this guy? Should I have spent maybe a little more time with that one? I saw this guy standing over there. If I didn't go over to see him, I probably should have. Then it just hit me like a ton of bricks. What are you doing? You did what you were supposed to be doing. Start questioning yourself, Wally. It was a long ride home, I got to tell you. But the one big thing that I took away, and, you know, it's the real need to keep speaking the word. You know, after seeing all these retirees and the new bloods in the trade, and how is, you know, all of us, we all feel this, so our things start breaking down as we age, right? Duh. We all feel it. And that new body, man, that sounds better and better every day. And I know we want to know more about it. You know, we all want to know about it. And it seems to me like the older I get and closer for me, I want to know more. This body I got's okay. But I want a new one, one that has promise to me and one that ain't going to break down. Perfect body. But like most things in life, we all know as we get older, the body thing, you know, they just might not react like they used to when we were younger. We start slowing down. Of course, we take care of ourselves the best we can. And sometimes, as we all know, that can be a struggle. But here's some great news. Not only can we be healed now, but we're going to receive new bodies when Christ returns. We're either going to get up from the grave or we're going to be caught up in the air with the Lord. We know that 1 Thessalonians tells us, it kind of gives us a little glimpse of what's ahead. I know we've all heard it before. We hear this at funerals. Great comfort and hope. But I want to take a look at it a little bit deeper, a little further, and ask this question. I'm sure we've all, every one of us has probably asked this question from time to time. What's we going to look like? What are we going to be doing? I can assure you that the Bible definitely gives us a glimpse of what's going to be available at that time. We take the time to look at it. So I'd like to share just a couple of verses tonight. Just a couple. There's so many. And this subject is so deep. Maybe can help explain a little bit about what's next and how it happens. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. I'm sure we're all familiar with this. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." There it is, guys. We're going to be changed. For this corruption must put on, that's our bodies now, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let's go to Philippians 3:21. Start in verse 20. "We shall change our vital body, that it may be fashioned back unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now, this is just a couple verses, guys. And I know some people out there, they just don't know this stuff. They're scared. They're scared of what's ahead. They're not sure. Thank God we can let people know that there's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be scared. There's lots of things going on in the world today. Lots of questions people have. What about, what are we going to look like? 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." It says we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, we know that after Jesus was crucified, raised from the dead 3 days later, seen over 500 in his resurrected body, recognized in 40 days, in his resurrected, and he was seen for 40 days, and then he ascended. In them 40 days, in his resurrected body, we can see some things that he did that if we're going to have a body like him, we can see maybe what our bodies are going to be like. Sometimes, you know, a subject in the Word, I don't know about you guys, but I guess it just kind of grabs your interest and starts driving you deeper and deeper and finding, I guess, a chosen gem. This is a subject that I'm sure everybody wants to know more about. And these are things that most of us have either heard before, but I need to hear it again. For me, anyway, I need to hear it sometimes. More than again, again and again. Well, I'm going to start out with Jesus Christ was recognized, you know, like we were just talking about, by people who knew Jesus before his death. They knew that it was the same Jesus, but he was in a new body. He was recognized by all. And if we're going to be like Jesus and have new bodies, doesn't that only make sense that we're going to be recognizable too? Not like the movies and, you know, the spooky little creep stories that you see, or like a ghost or something spooky floating around. 500 people, they recognize Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:5-6. It tells us that he was seen by, let's turn there, 1 Corinthians 15. "After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Over 500 people had seen him at that time. In his resurrected body that we're going to have, he showed up even through doors. The doors were shut for fear of the Jews in John 20:19. And what did he do when he said it? When he walked in there, he just walked right in and says, "Peace be unto you." That's pretty cool, I think. Can you just imagine having a body that could do something like that? What about this? Jesus Christ actually ate in his resurrected body. That's documented too. Look at John 21:12. Jesus told him, he says, "Come and dine with me." Luke 24:41. Jesus asked the disciples if they had anything to eat. "You got any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. He took it and he ate it right before them in his resurrected body. Pretty cool stuff to know, huh? To know that we could eat. So a lot of questions start coming up on that one, I'm sure. These are just a couple of the questions I know we all have either heard before or we thought about. And a couple of verses to kind of, I don't know, just whet our appetite, so to speak, on what's ahead. This subject, man, this subject is just dropping me. It's one of these things that it opens your eyes, it's exciting, it's encouraging, it's definitely comforting, and it's a hopeful subject. The gathering together, the rapture, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, it's going to happen when Christ returns for his saints, the born again, who are either asleep or upright and alive at the time of his return. What a subject to dig into, huh? What's going to happen after that? I know the word tells us it's going to be a 7-year tribulation. No grace. That's not going to be really a good time to be around here. Thank you, Father, for having us live under this grace administration that we're under now. Thank you for your mercy, Father. Then we got the 1,000-year millennium coming up. We got this story right in front of us. It's fascinating to start tearing into this stuff. We know how it ends, and we know how it begins. We're so blessed to be able, at any time we wanted to see it, we got the word right in front of us. You know, and we, like I said, we do got a lot of people out there worrying about what's happening next, what's going on. And it's so great to know what we know. And we can give hope and comfort to those looking and to whosoever. Nobody knows the day or the time, the hour when he's coming back. Not the angels, not the Son. Only God knows. So until that time, we do have an opportunity and a privilege now, at this time, to live in a time like this with the hope of Christ's return and try to live life to the fullest. We have the hope of that blessed return of Christ. Okay, we got this information now, so we've heard it before. We know it. What are we going to do? Can we just sit back and wait for it to happen? I guess we can do that if we want to, but that's not what God wants us to do. We already got our ticket. We could say that. I'm going to just sit back and wait for it to happen. No, that'd be a waste, right? That's not, like I said, that's not what God's watch. We can manifest and show people now how to know God. We can let people know now that they need to know what they need to know. We can let them know that they're loved, that they're important to God, that they matter, that their lives matter, that they are important, and that this place is only a temporary place. Our bodies are only temporary. We're all heaven-bound, and all hell can't stop it. Now, these are exciting times to be alive and see what we're seeing and experience the things that we're experiencing. So this is what I wanted to share tonight. This has been on my heart. So thanks, guys, for listening. Just want to let you all know I love you guys. See you either here, there, or in the air.